Like nearly every agency, the Marine Corps is trying to save money on its IT and software. Bill Williford is the executive director of the Marine Corps Systems Command. He spoke with Federal News Radio's Scott Massioni from the 2017 Sea Air Space Symposium in National Harbor, Maryland.
MCEN is the Marine Corps Enterprise Network, and the planning yard is really akin to the shipyard planning yard that the Navy uses. When they take a ship down, they look at the configuration of the ship, and they can test that configuration out at that planning yard to make sure before they install it that everything's working the right way. So in the same way, Marine Corps Enterprise Network Planning Yard, we're going to take that, put all of the capabilities together, both on the installation side, on the tactical side, and then also with all of our intel systems, plug those all together and be able to test those out, do some technical authority work by looking at the system engineering process and making sure that as we go through there, we've got all of those capabilities tied together and they're all working prior to getting those out to the fleet.
Great. And can you kind of explain what the importance of that is in kind of the whole cycle of things and when you're acquiring and testing different weapon systems?
Yeah, well, it's really critical to make sure that you have configuration management of those capabilities. My background at NAVC, I worked with the Aegis program, and one of the things that we did on the Aegis program is we had a baseline for every configuration. And so in that vein, we're going to do an advanced capability build with the MCEN planning yard, and we're going to have a baseline nomenclature for each one of the baselines that we put out with the MCEN. That way, if we make modifications, we make updates, as we fill that to the fleet, we will understand exactly what capability we're putting out there. And then as we move forward and change things, which is critical for cyber as well, to make sure you understand that network, we'll be able to do that.
Right. Now, I just wanted to kind of change a little bit on where we're going, and that is on to cybersecurity, something that everyone's talking about at this point. You know, what are you doing to improve cybersecurity, especially within your weapon systems?
Yeah, so that's a great question, and I think people try to make cybersecurity too hard. In my mind, it's really simple. We're doing what's called a defense-in-depth functional implementation architecture, or DFIA. What that consists of are three layers. The first layer being trying to what I call enclave the system so that you put them in a configuration that you can control. You put a boundary defense at the beginning of that enclave, and that everybody says, well, you know, boundary defense is not 100% perfect, and that's true. But just like a neighborhood that has a speed bump, you want to make sure that when you go through the neighborhood, you hit that speed bump, I can react to what's going on at that time, right? So that becomes a reaction point. And then the other two pieces is that inside that enclave, we'll have centrally managed services to protect the system. And then the last layer is the host level protections in that individual system. And that way we can protect the whole network throughout.
Now, I think one of the biggest things people always say is that you are your weakest link when it comes to cybersecurity.
Right.
And it's always the employee, you know, the person who might fall for that phishing attack or whatever. Do you have extra training that you're doing, or how are you trying to sort of keep that weakest link a little bit stronger?
Yeah, one of the things I've heard is that be a human firewall.
Yes.
And so the individual has to make sure that they're trained enough to understand and see phishing attacks and those type of things that hit their network. We're doing individual training for all of our employees at the Marine Corps Systems Command. We're training our IT system engineers, and we're training our system engineers on the engineering side to make sure that, you know, I see it as a partnership between the information technology community and the engineering community. The engineer knows about the system, the IT community knows how to protect that system, and together you really form a bond and come up with a greater capability as you move forward.
Great. I wanted to also move toward software prices. That's something that you've been trying to reduce and doing some negotiations for that. How's that going, and what have you been doing to make that happen?
So enterprise licenses are really expensive across the DoD, and so what we're looking at is each one of our enterprise license agreements, trying to consolidate those and bring those together. We think if we do that and understand more about who needs that license and where they need it, we can reduce costs over time.
And are there any specific programs that you're kind of negotiating with and trying to bundle those together with?
So our intelligent systems today, there's an effort called ESRI, and there's ArcGIS, which is a geospatial intelligence capability. We're consolidating those licenses together so that as we put those out, we can bundle those and provide those to each one of the units in the Marine Corps, and that will save us money over time as we go forward.
Great. Any estimates at this point, or are you still kind of in the...
No estimates. We're just in the planning process and getting everything put together, get that contract going so that it's integrated together, and then we should be able to see some funding savings coming forward.
That's great. Last question for you, sir. I'm sorry, I've got two more for you.
Okay.
Just want to know about your challenges for the future. You know, cyber is always going to be a big thing, at least for now. What do you see as the kind of the biggest problems for you?
So I think for the Marine Corps, one of the challenges moving forward is going to be trying to get that forced entry capability. You've got a lot of long-range missiles today on the adversary side that that impact our standoff distance and the things that we can do. We're going to require a more integrated approach with the Navy and the Coast Guard in the littorals to make sure that we can do that forced entry when needed. And so in my mind, you've got to look at those capabilities, you know, expeditionary staging bases, long-range fires, strike weapons, and those types of things that we need to bring back and put that as part of our capabilities. But I think the Marine Corps Marine Air-to-Ground Task Force can be a strong advocate and capability to support that type of forced entry.
Great. And finally, there's industry. They're big partners when it comes to cyber. What are you doing to reach out to them to make sure that you can keep them cyber secure, you keep yourself cyber secure, and that you can get the newest technologies that you need, especially with the acquisition cycle being as it is?
Yeah, so that's one of the things we're focused on is how to reduce that acquisition timeline. You know, a typical acquisition program today to get to Milestone B is 7 to 8 years. We're looking at doing a lot of demonstrations, experimentation early and upfront to kind of identify those and inform the requirement. And by informing that requirement with those items up front, we can shorten that timeline, we think, by about 4 to 5 years and get that capability out to Milestone B and get it out to the warfighter quicker.
Any kind of acquisition authorities or anything you'd like to see the services get that might speed that up?
So the Marine Corps just stood up a rapid capability office. Mm-hmm. So that rapid capability office, we're putting capability in the hands of the warfighter really quick. We just did a contract in about 2 weeks to get capability across 24 battalions in the Marine Corps. This capability is it. I call it the we've replaced the pool table in the day room with really an Xbox or PlayStation capability with HoloLens and all the things that go together so that they can actually do engagements between squads, engagements between battalions, and play those efforts in the actual setting in the barracks or in the day room when they need to. So that's a new capability we're just putting out there. The Commandant really wanted that, and I think it's going to pay dividends by making the Marines think about what they're doing in a squad and think about what they're doing in a company and a battalion. So it's going to be a great capability moving forward.
That's Bill Williford, Executive Director of the Marine Corps Systems Command, speaking with Federal News Radio's Scott Massioni from the 2017 Sea Air Space Symposium.